speaker is Jeremy Cowan. How are you doing? And he's going to be presenting on planning for tactile space to improve extension outreach activities. Please welcome Jeremy.
Good afternoon. So I'm going to talk about a concept in what I would place within the experiential learning field to help improve extension outreach. And I want to really quickly acknowledge my co-author on this, Jessica Goldberger, who somehow I forgot her name on the title slide. So a bit early in this presentation, I want to get my thank yous taken care of. So I want to thank the USDA SERI for funding the project that most of this work was developed through, and the collaborators on that project, among them my co-author Jessica Goldberger and Carol Miles, who is here in the room. So what I want to talk to you about is based upon a paper that we developed through some research on tactile space. I'll get to what tactile space is in just a moment, but we looked at whether or not we could create tactile space within the within a university extension field day event. And we did this looking at biodegradable plastic mulch films as our technology of choice. So tactile space was a concept developed by Michael Carolan, a sociologist from Colorado State University back in 2006, 2007. It's arguable which of his papers you want to say was the initial work of art, but Michael Carolan is responsible for this concept of tactile space. So experiential learning is the process whereby knowledge is created through the transformation of experience. And anybody who works in extension is familiar with the idea of experiential learning, as well as educators in many other fields. In fact, the motto of 4-H is learn by doing. So it's something that's well embedded within university extension. And the process is, there's many different models that have been put forward, but they all boil down to this basic idea that you start with an experience. That experience, then the learner has the opportunity to reflect upon that experience. They will draw generalizations or conceptualize what they want to, or what they gather from that experience. They may experiment with that experience or with that concept in some manner or another, which leads to a second order experience wherein they can then reevaluate whether or not that works for them. Now I want to bring into the presentation the idea of diffusion of innovations. This is a long-standing field within rural sociology developed back in the 50s, wherein rural sociologists look at how innovations, a lot of them in agriculture, but innovations are diffused throughout the various user bases. They look at the channels through which those innovations are presented. They look at what this is the steps that a potential adoptee would go through as far as obtaining knowledge and then at work using that knowledge. So you'll notice that these steps look an awful lot like things that we might see in a logic model. You start with an awareness and knowledge, some sort of a decision or as far as adoption goes, implementation, evaluation. So some of the things that may hinder adoption of any technology or innovation, they could be really obvious practical things. Economics is probably one of the most prevalent, but there are other factors that may also come into play. And Michael Carolan has written about this concept called epistemic distance. And these are certain socio-biophysical objects, effects, and relationships that are beyond direct perception. So this means these are things that you can't touch, see, hear, taste, or smell. And for a few examples, or maybe to drill this down a little bit more, these are phenomena that are either too small or too large to be grasped by the senses alone. So one example of that would be microbial activity in the soil. Now, the soil scientists in the room will say, but we know lots about them. But the general public, the farmer that's coming to these extension field day events, they may understand that there are processes happening under the soil, but they may be too small to actually perceive in a sensible manner. and so may not be readily apparent in a decision to adopt or not to adopt. They could be relationships that are extended over time. So going back to the soil, soil is a great example for a lot of this. You know, you may not see soil effects for a given treatment or a new implementation of a technology for years down the road. And where it's not seen in the first year, so I went to a presentation earlier today about biochar, and they were showing that there wasn't huge benefits in the early going, and there were only moderate benefits, not major benefits going down the road. And it could be that 4 or 5 years down the road, there might be benefits, but because they're not perceived up front, this creates a distance between the claim and the realization of that claim, which can become a hindrance to an adoption decision or evaluating that decision. They may be, the relationships may be unclear due to complexity. Again, we can go back to the soil. You know, how many billions of organisms are in a teaspoon of soil? And that's something that's really hard to wrap around, to get your head wrapped around, especially when you're trying to figure out what the impact might be of something like that. It could be something that there's a lot of controversy around. If you've ever gone and presented on crops and the term GMO comes up, you can imagine what kind of feelings that might evoke and how that could create problems for somebody trying to evaluate whether or not a technology is right for them. And then socio-organizational relationships are such that they uphold a certain perceptual lens or gestalt that focuses on some aspects of reality while neglecting others. We might call this a bias, or it's basically a bias. So, you know, you've seen life through a certain lens, and you come to a point where somebody might be challenging that or maybe giving you support, and you may not look at it as critically as you otherwise would. This could also be a form of epistemic distance. So tactile space, and where this comes in is this is a strategy whose goal is to produce long-lasting attitudinal changes within individuals, a change that centers on a greater sense of care and commitment to others and the environment. Now, wait a minute. Not everything that we do in extension and in our outreach has to do with improving the lot of individuals as individuals or on the environment. Now, a lot of it does in agriculture. But when tactile space was presented, it was presented comparing a more conventional extension type of activity versus one that was a sustainable agriculture, and I use that term in quotes, sustainable agriculture, organic type of outreach event. And I'm not saying that tactile space can't be employed outside of that sustainable agriculture environment, but that was the environment in which it was originally presented and in which I've experienced or in which I've evaluated it. And what I'll talk about. So tactile space involves interconnections among people, i.e. a social embeddedness, and physical negotiations with environmental surroundings or physical embodiedness. And what that means is that your participants need to have the opportunity to interact with each other and to interact with the learning environment. So where most of the experiential learning literature focuses on the cognitive processes involved in learning, tactile space is looking more at the learning environment and the interactions that that environment facilitates. And so where the research that we had done in order to publish that paper that I showed you earlier on, we created a series of field day events, but we purposely, when we took people out to the field, we intentionally created opportunities for them to interact with each other, but also to interact with the environment. So we handed them shovels and said, go turn over the dirt and see if you can find pieces of these mulches in the ground. And what do you think about that? And I even told them, I said, you can touch them, smell them, taste them, feel them. We didn't have anybody taste them, but it would have been awesome if we had. So I want to get to an idea or a strategy that might help illustrate the idea of tactile space. So I've recently been doing a lot of work in the permaculture community. Permaculture, for those of you that aren't aware of it, is it's a movement that centers around regenerative agriculture and a more permanent, so focused more on perennial crops and whatnot. it also tends to be associated with people who are very engaged with the earth and with each other. And so one of the things that I took away from an event that I was at was this idea called dragon mapping. And I will say that dragon mapping is a name that I gave to it when I misheard somebody explaining it during one of these things. I couldn't find it anywhere else in the literature, and so I claimed it. So here's the idea. If you have a mass of people, and this works especially well if this mass of people is going to be together for any extended period of time, as an introductory event, what we do is we get people into a large open space and we divide that up into quadrants. We have an X and a Y axis. And along the X axis, we'll ask them to arrange themselves according to some prompt. So it might be by age. So the older folks come stand over here, the younger folks come stand over here. And then we might go by years of education going along the other axis. And so it allows people to spatially organize themselves. And we do this not just on purely demographic questions, but on questions of, you know, preferences and experiences and all of these other things. And it gives the participants an opportunity to see where their co-participants align with them, either demographically or through their experiences or preferences. And it creates that link. And that link, especially where the activity goes on for, you know, a long period of time in a single day or over multiple days, it breaks the ice and allows them to get past that barrier to then exchange the various knowledge or discuss the various knowledge claims that are being presented to them. And that, to me, is a really great example of a way to create tactile space, or at least open the door to it. Now, one of the things that we found when we were conceptualizing tactile space and planning for this field day activity was that, how do we enable our participants to have this embodied and embedded experience, you know, without sacrificing the knowledge that we're trying, without sacrificing the educational component. You know, it's really great to get people into a big space and to have them go and do these things, which you might consider touchy-feely. But what we found was where there was that opportunity for people to interact, that the knowledge or the claims that were being presented were more fully vetted. So, for instance, in one of our field day events, we bookended this field day with focus groups. So the group would go in at the beginning. We'd start with a focus group. What do you know about biodegradable mulch? What do you think about biodegradable mulch? What are your questions? And then we went out to the field and we showed them biodegradable mulch and said, okay, now interact with this, interact with each other. I mean, we didn't say it that dryly, but have this experience. Now let's come back and debrief. And in that debriefing period, we learned that, you know, where there was a mulch manufacturer in the group, that mulch manufacturer was able to answer a lot of questions that were very technical that you know, the extension agent might not have been able to. We learned that there was issues with trust. Because, you know, even some of the participants were not willing to trust the university extension agent more so than their colleague or their peers. And so if you take this idea of tactile space and you look at the epistemic distance which tactile space seeks to bridge that gap, how can your program be used to shorten those distances and I would propose to you that the dragon mapping is a great one where you have a long-term activity to break the ice, and where you have a more short-term activity, getting people really involved with each other and getting them involved with the environment and giving them that opportunity to interact helps break down those barriers and shorten the distance where when it's just the talking head at the front of the room, they might otherwise not have that opportunity to get through that. And with that, I'm not going to go over.
So, Jeremy, will you be around?
I will be here all day signing out. No, I'm just, yes.